pin. Denise, again.
The purpose of agenda paper 10 is to inform the ISB of a proposal that is still in discussion by the U.S. Emerging Issues Task Force on the length of the performance target with respect to the service period. The ITF's consensus is that a performance target that is achieved after the service period is considered a performance condition. This consensus has been ratified for exposure by the FASB at their September 2013 meeting, and we will be exposed for public comment. In agenda paper 10, we highlight the fact that the consensus is not consistent with the definition of performance condition that we discussed with you at the June 2013 meeting. And this is because according to the definition that you have tentatively approved for performance condition, a performance target that extends beyond the service period will be considered a non-vesting condition, not a performance condition, in line with the ITF consensus. So the main difference is that on the accounting treatment are explained in the table below paragraph 15 of this paper. So the question for you is whether we need to do additional work based on the ITF consensus, or whether you agree to finalize the amendment to the definition of vesting conditions in IFRS 2 that is part of the annual improvement cycle 2010-2012 that is due to be published and finalized in December this year.
And we, if the CITF thing hadn't happened, if there wasn't that signature, there was nothing further for us to do.
No.
We were through the whole process.
You were just about to send you the ballot.
So the question is, we're going to, this is a more or less converged standard for
it's converged at the principal level, but there's a lot of difference in the detail.
Yeah. Right. But this would interpretate a principle differently. Interpret a principle.
I think that we have our amendment is consistent with the principle, so we've held true to that.
And they have the same principle?
They do.
And they've come to a different conclusion?
They have, for some practical reasons which they go on to explain in their approach to our country.
But two of some board members and the ITF members also acknowledge that we've probably interpreted this more consistently.
Yes.
So they seem to be, the practical thing seems to be that they're worried about it making fair value more difficult to measure. So they've taken, put more weight on that than on preserving the principle. And it seems that it's the EITF is acknowledging, I think, in the exposure draft that this is moving and undermining potentially the principle. And that's a minority view, I gather. Actually acknowledge that as part of the ED.
And how long does their process take if they do an exposure draft now? What
60 days, I think, is a comment here.
60 days.
For them, yes.
And so they could be doing something by the second quarter next year. So. And we're due to go in December.
Finalised in December, yes.
Okay. Philippe?
Well, the question is, any further work is needed? I don't think any further work is needed, but I think some communications with the ITF are probably needed. We cannot ignore it. It's considered a significant different view on interpreting a basic principle. We, on a common standard, I think we should have some form of communication at the level of the chairman of the ITF, or maybe the chairman of IFRIC, or the...
I mean...
What to exchange views on how to proceed when you have such divergence with that here.
I agree with you, Philippe. Quickly, for instance, comment on the exposure draft. I mean, I know we don't, but this is a more or less converged standard. We've spent a lot of time and come to a conclusion. Would it be unusual, but would it do any harm for us to put a formal submission saying you've got it wrong? Peter?
I think, first of all, it is an exposure draft. Maybe it has the legs to succeed at the FASB level, but I think we should make the decision independent of that to see whether we will stay with our decision. And I believe that our decision is principally accurate, and we should not change any of our things, and we should if and when it becomes a different opinion between the two, it's one more difference. But I would not think that that should change our answer in whatsoever. We should recognize why they came to that conclusion, and but I would not move from our answer.
Well, I guess I'm attacking from a slightly different angle, not consider leaving us where we are, because we're nearly in the ballot, maybe delaying but trying to convince them that our solutions are correct.
But if you look at, I think that's a very noble thought, and I respect that. But if you look at it, I think the paragraph which talks about it, they have directed them to look at it because some CATF members and some board members raised the same exact concern, but they went ahead and ratified it. So I don't...
You're going to ratify the ED, not the final.
Agree. I'm fully aware of that. I'm just saying that they have consciously taken that into decision and they still went ahead. They might change their view based on the feedback, but I'm just saying that they have considered the potential difference with IASB and they said still it's okay because their overriding factors were good enough for them to do that. I don't think we should delay it, and we should see if we can convince them. I think like Ian said, but I think beyond that we should go ahead and finalize this. This, remember, this is 2010 and 12 cycle. We are in 2013 end of it.
Chang Wu.
Thank you. I agree with the PK's suggestion. Based on this paragraph 13, you illustrated the EIPF discussion very well. They know everything. This is a divergency, the IFRS decision, but they are saying that this EIPF task force said as our approach, ISB's approach, is adding additional measurement of certainty. That's why they know this is conceptually wrong, and that this is not converged with the IFRS decision, but this additional uncertainty in measurement that drives the EITF to make this decision. So I'm suggesting we should wait for the final decision of the EITF, but we should analyze why this, what this uncertainty is a meaning in market experience. So maybe if this is really huge amount, then maybe the EITF will not change their decision.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking you to check whether this uncertainty is really burdensome.
Well, they're in the middle of their process, aren't they? So the task force has made one decision, the EITF and CFE have agreed to put that out as an exposure draft. But we don't know what the final result is yet.
Right.
And my suggestion more is that we have an opportunity perhaps to influence it. But Mary?
I agree with PK's point about deciding independently whether or not to move ahead with our project. I think that does not preclude your suggestion of trying also, to influence.
Well, it does to the extent that we've lost any negotiation stance. And so we've made a decision. We're sticking with it hard and fast. We're going ahead. We're issuing this almost immediately. And they're going through a process. So we've cut off a lot of alternatives by issuing it.
I think one thing is that in terms of the EITF process and the publication of a draft ASU, my understanding is that it is basically the final confirmation of decisions that have already been through a process rather than development of a...
So their exposure draft doesn't do anything.
It's a fatal flaw type of exposure. There are relatively few comments typically on the exposure of final EITF decisions for ratification. It's very near the end of the process as opposed to the development of a proposal. The comment I would make is I think it's helpful that we were made aware of this so that we can think about it. I think it's the right challenge that we should give ourselves in terms of our interpretation is the EITF's conclusion that there's a significant valuation challenge that they prefer to treat with a practical accommodation. Have we followed up on that to make sure that we considered that aspect adequately. I understand, Michael, from conversation with you in advance of this meeting, that you went back and checked the comment letters that we received on this AIP, and there was that no one responding raised that concern about difficulty doing it. I also understand, because for my sins, spent a lot of time with IFRS too, you know, in past life, that there are a number of kind of second and third order conceptual differences between 123R and IFRS 2 in this area, including we have explicitly the concept of a non-vesting condition, and they don't. So perhaps the extent to which they are stepping over some principles to get to the practical accommodation is less than it would be for us. Because Ian, while I'd characterize IFRS 2 as converged at the principles level, I think it's in the high order principles of recognize the compensation and, you know, and treat it as an expense, and that there's a lot of devil in the details, you know, in between the
round measures. It'd be very interesting for the two bodies, interpretation bodies, to explore that though, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure. I think as long as we've done adequate assessment of the concern about valuation.
Okay. That was John Weir's point, too.
I would say if we've done that, then yeah, let's okay. not hold our process.
Very good.
I fully support the DK, not only because, you know, we should make decisions independently, but that we should try to achieve as many as possible before he leaves.
That is not an adequate
comment, you know. Yes. Before we had the last wedding, I suggest again, we should have an internal discussion and with FSB on how should we deal with those issues come from the previous convergence project. Mm-hmm. And we must have some kind of policies, otherwise, you know.
Now, you did, right? Well, again, this is part of the bigger picture, and it's one of the first steps in what we might have lots of divergences on, and we really do need an overall policy. But on the other hand, we've got one right on our doorstep now that we need to deal with. So.
But I was on the same tune as they go here. That this will happen over and over again.
Yeah.
And in this case, if we take that, I think we have been at this now for 3 years, something like it. We had an exposure draft out a year and a half, more than 3 years. Of course, we must, if we still think we have the right answer, we must take the decision and move forward. There's no way we can sit here and say after 3 years someone woke up and said, and by the way, we might have another direction. We decide on this topic. I think it's absolutely unacceptable not to move forward. So send the ballot.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no objection to Jan's last observation. I'm trying to understand, Michael, their assertion about measurement uncertainty and measurement complexity. You say in our paper we didn't hear anything about that, but have you done any follow-up with any of the specialists in this area? And how much uncertainty is there in this calculation that would create a problem?
Well, from conversations, I think there is no more difficulty or uncertainty here than for any other sort of non-vesting condition. We have this, as Mary just pointed out, we have this concept of the non-vesting condition that isn't directly replicated in US GAAP. And our non-vesting conditions are ones where you need to reflect those in the grant date to fair value, and this would be just another one of those.
So is there reference to measurement uncertainty around that concept or around something else?
I understand it's around that concept.
Okay, just limited to that. Okay.
Because they could have treated it as a post-vesting restriction, which would have given the same
exactly.
outcome
right.
and have the same valuation challenge.
Yeah.
Steve. Okay.
Have the EITF or the FASB put in a request to us that we delay?
No.
I'm with Jan and the others.
Well, how about this is a compromise? We're due out in December, is that right? The if we move ahead, it will go out in December. How about we do a bit more work with, I think, the chair of SASB as well as the EITF, and have a discussion at that level, and just bring back a report next month without, you don't need to write more papers, and just make a final decision there. I'm just going to give it.
Yeah, I wonder though what that would be. I mean, we did have a call a couple of weeks ago with chairman of the EITF on this, and to make sure that we understood the respective positions and how we've ended up at this position. So I'm struggling to see what the other things would be.
Well, I think one of the issues would be how. Yeah, well, I've got that double up.
Australian rules.
It would give us a little bit of time to think about the long-term ramifications of this, not just for this project, but for other projects, and maybe jointly try to think about that a little bit more. Maybe nothing will come of it. If it doesn't, you haven't had any extra work, the decision can be finally made next month, and the thing can go ahead exactly as planned, and we haven't lost anything. We've just given ourselves a bit of a chance.
Papers have to be posted this next week anyway, so we're only a week away from paper posting.
Yeah,
haven't got much time to do it.
Yeah.
So I agree basically with what you said, so I think that's fine. But in this case, I think if you have had a discussion, I think you should write them a letter which goes up then among their response letters to their proposal, whereby we clarify the process we've been through, the arguments, the higher moral ground we have for our decision, and then of course we need to establish a work procedure with them. But I think we should put it sort of in public why we are moving ahead and why they are wrong.
Yeah, I support that. I think we should tell them, instead to do more technical work, it's more communication work. Tell them the board has considered the situation, is deeply concerned that on the converse standard we are moving away, and it raises questions.
Well, it's like my original idea to do a submission, except we do it in a softer way than.
I don't intellectually disagree with you, but I'm wondering what's been gained. Does the comeback could be, we're aware of the difference, we put out for exposure, it'll be 60 days or more before the responses are in, another period of time before we summarize it, before we bring it back to the ITF, bring it back to the faculty. You know, we say, well, we voted it, we got to let the process run its course, and we'll see if there's other feedback similar to that. So I don't know. Not against the phone call and communication, but I don't think anything will be different a month from now than we've launched our process and we've got to run the course.
Well, let's see. Amma.
A question, and related to the ITF decision in June. So in June, paragraph 12 in page 5, the EITF stated that in the middle, some task force members and some board members raised concern that this approach would weaken the main recognition principles and topics.
That's the problem. That's exactly what I was referring to Alan.
So, I mean, they recognize already they are taking a path that is not really aligned with the principles. So, I was wondering, what would be, do they have all the information related to our assessment of this issue, or they were communicated, they do have the papers that discuss it, so is this the next best forward for us during this discussion, I would call period, before we publish the final amendment, or because this is the only way I see as proceeding with what we call additional work, and this in a formal way.
We have been in touch with them for some months. I mean, and I understand that they have been following all our proposed amendments to the definition of testing conditions. They were aware of what we were proposing, and despite of that, as they are pointing out, they decided to go.
So they knew everything, but despite of that, they are departing from the main recognition principle as they recognize.
Yes. as we are mentioning this,
weighing uncertainty and complexity in their decision. So.
Tak, just quickly. Actually, we made a mistake before. That is offsetting standard. EITF, I don't know whether it was EITF or not, FASB changed the scope a little bit. And we recognized it, but we thought it was a little too late. We couldn't fit into our due process. And then we leave it as it is, because at that time we didn't hear anything about what the FASB raised. However, after that, we received a comment letter about the scope difference. And we didn't have enough chance to deal with it. So therefore, I think, I don't know how serious the problem is, but and I know we didn't hear such things from our constituents. However, this is the timing we can wait. So as Changu said, and some of our board members said, we need to have a We should have a little time to see what the problem is and to see what the reaction of the constituents are. And we have to keep it in mind that not all of the constituents are listening to our discussions. So therefore, if they are listening our discussion now, they might have responded. However, they didn't. They may not feel that they had a chance to respond. So we have to be very careful of this kind of issue.
Okay. Lisa.
Very quickly, just wanted to understand whether the EATF issue was raised because of our tentative decisions, or was it independent?
No, independent.
Well, okay, I just wanted to make sure that...
I asked that question specifically in our call and they said no.
No, okay. I think what Ian said and some others who supported Ian's view, I said it's a noble view. I think something is at our doorstep and we need to think about how to go forward, not only for this, but for in the future. So I think it's fair to pause, and especially given the fact that September 12th was their EATF decision, so 60 days will be running out somewhere in November.
No, they only published last week.
But they published only last week.
It's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, so it's after me, Bego. But I really think what we need to think is that one comment, though, and this is something we need to think, and I'm not saying this is the answer, do we need to think of sending a comment letter?
That's what my face is. Let's
leave it to this month, or as Alan says, the next week and a half. But we're not looking for a lot of work. We're not looking for new papers. I don't think there are new issues here. I get the message that if not all, the vast majority of the board are quite happy with the decision we've already made, and nobody's really looking to change that on the basis that EITF has come to a different one. But we'll just give ourselves, without impeding the process, our process, a chance to see if we can work something out. Pat?
You know, I agree with what you just said. I was just wondering, before we meet again, Interpretations Committee meets, do we need to discuss this with them, and what should we tell them?
Good point. Thank you. I think, Michael, you might advise better, but I think you need to report back on this meeting, sure.
Yeah.
And if it's helpful for either Hans or myself or somebody to come along to discuss it, we could.
Okay.
Probably do that as well. But I think we should keep in mind that there hasn't been any decision to change.